men, and yes, here's Elisha and the servants. In the Bible, there are two people that sound the same, and I'd hopefully get it the right way around, but sometimes people get, doesn't really matter, you get the wrong way around, except to them, of course. Elijah was the one who came first, just like J comes before S in the alphabet, that's how you can remember it. Elisha came second, and they did meet up, and Elisha followed Elijah around and became his disciple for a while. But this is after that time when there's Elisha and his servant, and Elisha is the man of God, and Elisha is hearing from God. And the situation we've got is that Syria, some Bibles call it Aram, but it's the same place really, the same country, Syria, in my Good News Bible here, is at war with Israel. And what you have to imagine is that the Syrians, they're the ones who are trying to do the attacking. They're trying to set up an ambush to get the people of Israel. And every time they go for an ambush in a particular place for the people of Israel, well, somehow, the people of Israel know they're there, and they're on their guard, or they don't go there. And this happened several times, and the king of Syria, being a very clever man, says, there's a problem here. They always know where we're going to be. So he gathers his officers together. I love this bit. He gathers his officers together, and he points them like this, and he says, okay, who's the spy? Now, if you're a spy, excuse me, but if you're a spy, are you going to say, it's me, shoot me now? I don't think you would you? If you were actually a spy, but the king says, who's telling the king of Israel where we're going to have our ambush? Well, I just got to that bit in the Bible, and it says, no one is, your majesty, one of the officers said. The prophet Elisha tells the king of Israel what you say, even in the privacy of your own room. Now, that all sorts of questions come to my mind. I don't know if you get questions about God and Jesus and the Bible and that. I get loads of questions, and the Bible doesn't answer them all. How did Elisha know what the king of Syria was saying, even in the privacy of his own room? How did he know? Well, you probably thought, the simple answer is, I suppose, God told him. That's too simple for me, you know. How did God tell him? Did God say, oh, Elisha, the king of Syria, he's out. Did he shout at him? Or did he whisper, hey, Elisha, don't tell him anybody, but the king of Syria is going to set an ambush down there. Did he read something in the old part of the Bible, the bit of the Bible he had? Or did he have a very strong thought in his mind and he thought, that didn't come from me. I wonder if that was God. And then he risked going to tell the king. This is the dodgy bit for me, you know. If I sometimes think God might be saying something to me, like I asked that he might give me something to say to you this morning, you know, I might get it completely wrong, because it's just like thoughts in my mind in one sense. I prayed to God and asked for that. Maybe Elisha did that and maybe had this thought. But then he had to go to the king of Israel and he had to say, the king of Syria is in that place there. Don't go near there or warn the people he's going to set an ambush. What if he was wrong? He'd just be a laughing stock. But it says in the Bible, this happened several times. So Elisha must have heard God pretty well several times. Well, the king of Syria had a great plan. You know, as soon as he realized it was Elisha that was giving his secrets away, he said, find out where Elisha is and we will capture him. That was where we stopped the reading. So now you've got to imagine, press the button again, there's Elisha and his servant, and they're sort of a little bit on the run already because they know things aren't too good. They go to a place called Dothan. And so in the Bible it says that the king of Syria was told that Elisha was in Dothan, so he sent a large force there. He sent the army down there. And they reached the town at night. And they surrounded the town. Press the button again, you might even see the army. There we are, there's the army coming to surround the town. And it's at night time, and so nobody could see them there until the next morning. And in the Bible it says, the next morning, early the next morning, Elisha's servant, that was the other fellow you saw when you saw two of them together, Elisha's servant got up, went out of the house, and saw the Syrian troops with their horses and chariots surrounding the town. And he went back to Elisha, and he exclaimed, the private phrase of moment, for those who remember Dad's army. It actually says in my Good News Bible, we are doomed! We're doomed! Do you remember Private? Perhaps some of you are too young, Private. We're doomed! Captain Mannering, we're doomed! Well, that's what it says here. What are we going to do? And Elisha answered. Actually, you know what Elisha answered. Can you say it with me? Don't be afraid. We have more on our side than they have on theirs. Kings 6, verse 16. Actually, he didn't say the 2 Kings bit. That's just where we find it in the Bible. He said all the rest of it, according to the Bible. It's just right here. You can see it in my Bible afterwards if you're not quite sure. But then I can imagine, you see, here's a servant, and he's been out and seen all these soldiers. And then Elisha says, "Don't be afraid. We've got more on our side than they have on theirs." And he says, "Hang on a minute. I've got to count this. Let me see. Elisha, 1, me, 2. Enemy army, 1, 2, no, 1,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 10,000, and we've got 2. How does that work out?" Well, then Elisha prayed these words. "O Lord, open his eyes and let him see." And the Lord answered his prayer, and Elisha's servant looked up and saw the hillside covered with horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Press the button, and we'll see something like this. Something like that it was, anyway. And there they all are. And press the button again. And there. Oh, there they are. Chariots and horses and soldiers. Heavenly soldiers. There were more of them than there were the Syrians. And that's how it worked out. But here's something I'd love to know. There's 2 things I want to say about this. One is, did Elisha see them already? Or did he just have faith? Because if you're like me, I believe that God is there with us, but I've never actually seen him. And that's difficult, isn't it? You know, I tell children, Jesus is with us all the time. And adult, we all need to know that. But you look around, where is he? So I wonder if Elisha could actually see those, or if he just knew that they were there. And he had to ask God to open the servant's eye, and he'd actually never seen them himself before. I don't know. But the other great thing to remember is that it's true. They were there, even though Elisha's servant couldn't see them, and maybe Elisha couldn't see them. We don't actually know that last bit, but they were there. And it's a great thing for us to think about. And now I put on the screen at the start, do you ever feel alone? Because you don't need to. At camp, we often put the team members on the spot. I have a big golden spot, and we put it on the floor and make them stand on it, and we ask them all sorts of questions. The children can write the questions beforehand. The campers often write those down. We nearly always finish with a question. If you're not a Christian already, if there's somebody here who's not a Christian, what would your best advice be to them? And what's the best thing about being a Christian? And nearly always they say, you're never alone if you're a Christian. You can tell me afterwards. You're going to tell me what you are then?
If you're a Christian, God's with you.
God is with you. Perfect, you see? Even Jude knows it. Excellent. Thank you very much. Well done. And that's what the team often say. And that's what other adults say to me. If you're not yet a Christian, you should think about becoming one, because you're never on your own. God is always with you. And then, what are you going to say? Yeah?
But God didn't have loads of gods. How are they going to take all of them?
That's a really good question. They can't have lots of gods. There's only one God. And where can he be all the same? You know? What do you think? We're going to have a discussion here.
He's everywhere.
He's everywhere. You're absolutely right. I'll tell you a little something. I wasn't going to say this, but the way I sometimes explain it is when Jesus was here on earth, he was just in one place. Usually in Israel, like Galilee or Jerusalem, something like that. But when he was going back to his father, he said, I'm going back, but I'm going to send another person just the same as me, and it'll be the Holy Spirit, which is also God. And the Holy Spirit, you won't be able to see him. But he's everywhere. So exactly what you're saying. So God can be with us everywhere, even though we can't see him. If we could see him, and he was standing there, then the people in Africa or America who believe in Jesus, they couldn't see him because he's here. But because we can't see him, he's everywhere. So there is only one God, you're right. Although it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Not going to explain that now, if you don't mind. But God is with us everywhere. So there's not lots of gods, there is just the one God, and he's with us everywhere. And so we don't ever have to be alone. And it's really amazing. It's really great. Even though we can't see him, he is there. And the other thing I thought about was that children also ask me, where is heaven? And in the old days, hang on a second, in the old days, I'm going to give you an answer, people said, heaven's up there and hell's down there. But then, you're a good guy, you're going to tell me, eh? Go on then. Heaven's everywhere. So, oh, goodness me, you should be doing a talk, I think. One of these days, you probably will be. Well, what I was going to say is, Yuri Gagarin, who was the very first astronaut, spaceman, went up to space, and he was a Russian, and he didn't believe in God, and he went up into space, and he looked around up there, and he said, God's not up here, so he can't be anywhere. God doesn't exist. I don't believe in him. That's what Yuri Gagarin, the spaceman, said. But that's because God isn't up there, as you quite rightly say, Judith. God is everywhere. And I love this as an illustration. You know, God was there with his army more than the Syrian armies. They just couldn't be seen. And it's almost as if God and heaven is just like in another dimension, you know? I love Star Trek, you know, and there's probably just a teleporter away. Or it's just another dimension away. But we can't see him. But he is there. And that takes faith, I understand. It's not all that easy to believe in things you can't see. But there again, can you think of anything you can't see that you believe in? Anyone believe in air? What do you believe in? Sorry? Wind. Can't see. Perfect. Good answer. Wind. Anyone seen the microwaves going down in your microwave oven when you're cooking something up? I look in there, I can't see them at all. It's sterilising the bottles for Thea at the moment. What did you think?
A cup.
You can't see?
A cup.
A cup? If it was an invisible cup, you couldn't see it. There's lots of things we can't see, but they are there, and God is one of those that we can't see, but he is there, and we can believe in him. So let's just think for a moment about this story. There's several things I'd like you to think about. One is, how did God speak to Elisha? And if he spoke to Elisha and said those sort of things, would he speak to us? I think he would. The Bible is all about how he speaks to people. But I'd love you to think about and ask God to speak to you, maybe even through these words. And I wonder what God would want to say to us from these words and what he'd want us to take away. And then if you are a bit on your own, and through all this business, a lot of times we have felt a bit on our own, well, let's remember that we never need to be on our own. Jesus promised to be with us always. And God said, I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. So maybe we can pray and just think on those things for a moment before we sing our last song together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this story that reminds us that you are with us always. And thank you that you're always wanting to speak to us and to help us in our lives. Thank you that you spoke to Elisha, and that was really important for the people in those days. And thank you that you showed the heavenly armies to Elisha's servant when he was so afraid, when he felt that they were doomed. Lord, we thank you that there was and is more on our side than on theirs. Please help us to understand this. And if we find it difficult to believe, well, help our faith, we pray. Amen. And the song that allows us to say that we will trust in God is that lovely psalm. I press the button here and we'll get there in a minute. And one more. It's the Lord's my shepherd, Psalm 23. But the chorus says, I will trust in you alone. I will trust in you alone. And it gives us a chance to say that back to God in the words of the song. So let's stand up and we'll sing together, the Lord's my shepherd. I will not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still waters.